It's time for Insights with Zion Matthew, exclusively on In Season.
And of course, we are live, as I mentioned, on our Facebook, on our YouTube as well. Thank you to every single individual who gets to tune in on this particular platform. I missed you last week, but Ntsiki held it down.
I did miss you too.
How are you doing?
I'm good. It's good to have you back, Saki.
Awesome. I love this morning's topic. It resonates with me. So for me, this one is very much personal. But how did we land to this morning's topic?
Saki, so many people are living just in the brokenness of yesterday and never fully moving fully into the purposes and into a happy life. And yeah. God wants us happy. God wants us free. And today, as we begin to delve into this very hot topic, mm-hmm. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to place his finger on the hearts of many people that are dealing with the hurt, the reoccurring trauma in their lives. And yeah. as we get into this, let the Holy Spirit just touch mm-hmm. every life. And I'm encouraging all of our viewers right now, go ahead, share this broadcast. Tag someone in the comment section if you know that they are experiencing this kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. Zion, what does it mean when you say hidden wounds still bleed in silence? Talk us through that concept, and how can someone appear fine on the outside? We look good, we are smiling, we are the light of the room, yet we are bleeding internally.
You know, the Bible speaks in the book of Mark chapter number 5 about the woman that silently bled for 12 long years. She silently bled, you know. She was the scorn of the city, and she rejected by physicians, isolated by the culture, forgotten by society, because people that had an issue of blood, they had to scream out unclean before they could even go into a room. And so many times that, you know, while a crowd saw a desperate woman crawling through the dust, heaven mm-hmm. saw a daughter that was demanding her healing. Yeah. And she didn't scream, but her heart had a silent wound. But she moved before the throne of God. She moved before Jesus in desperation. And let's just check this out, because hidden wounds are quiet battles. We have these quiet battles that nobody sees. The emotional and spiritual battles or mental pain that we carry, we don't speak about it often. And church folk are really good in hiding things and covering up things, you know. And these wounds aren't less because they are invisible. You know, it's very easy to see someone that's got an injury outside, but it's not easy to see somebody that's carrying this hidden pain. Yeah. And I'm speaking directly to every person that are carrying this hidden pain right now. You can be healed. You can be set free. You don't have to go around this vicious mountain over and over for the rest of your life. You know, someone might smile on the outside, but they are broken and hollow on the inside. Mm. And they're battling this this loneliness, the fear, the rejection, and they just never get healed. Silence can sometimes be louder than the loudest cries, because it isolates us from the connection and hope. And sometimes people become masters of disguise. You know, wearing the armor of success on the outside. And we see this with so many of these Hollywood stars. Yeah. They eventually end up taking their lives. You know, this is a reality. They strung out on you know, addiction, and they are trying to numb that pain. Mm. But we look fine on the outside, but we're broken on the inside. We're drowning. Can somebody help me? And Saki, this is so real for me, because I want to talk to those that are in ministry that thinks that you are invincible. I want to talk to those that have been Christians all their lives, because I was a man in ministry. I was on television around the world, but I carried this brokenness for years, you know, and these hidden wounds are passed down from generation to generation. My mama had that brokenness. And she passed it on because she did not have anyone to help her deal with this thing. And I want to tell you that are watching right now, share this broadcast. There is hope. You do not have to pass this down to the next generation. You know, God's heart always reaches beyond what we can see. He heals not just the physical part of us, but the invisible places in our lives. And God still is in the business of turning hidden bleeding into testimonies of healing and restoration. Check this out, Saki. The deepest scars are often invisible to the eye, but God's healing grace and fire ignites where silence has ruled for years, turning hidden bleeding into triumphant breakthroughs. And today, my desire is that every one of you receive that breakthrough.
Yeah, amen, amen. As I mentioned, this one is a very personal one for me today. But I'm grateful for this broadcast, Zion. We often hear the theme and the term, time heals all wounds, right? But how much of that is true? And also, what role does truth play in one's healing process?
Like if we go back to the word of God in John chapter number 5, the Bible speaks about a man that was at the pool of Bethesda and waiting 38 years, hoping, praying that the time would come for his miracle to manifest and for his healing to show up. And Jesus stood up in the flesh in front of him. But Jesus didn't show up and he wasn't automatically healed.
Yeah.
Jesus asked him. I mean, imagine Jesus can see him paralytic. But Jesus has the audacity to ask him, do you want to be healed? Because sometimes we become so familiar with the way things are in our lives and we're happy, you know, these appendages, we go on with life from day to day, church, Sunday after Sunday. And let me say this, time alone is not a healer. It can be a temporary bandage or band-aid that dulls the pain for a moment, but it does not remove it. You know, wounds that are not confronted with truth often becomes buried in layers of denial and numbing or destruction. And time can give the illusion that healing is happening, but the soul needs the light of truth to cleanse the infection beneath the surface.
Yeah.
Many people live their lives waiting for time to erase trauma. And many people I know that have lost loved ones. It, you know, they say time will heal, but there are some pains that it'll never heal. You just learn to live with it. But Jesus allowed and asked this man to confront his own truth. What is wrong with you? Why are you here in this place in your life? And do you want to be healed? And I ask you those three questions today. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why are you here in the season of your life with recurring hurts showing up? You might have been betrayed by a husband or a wife, and you might have been let down by a parent. I was let down by my parent. I was let down by my father. Yeah. I was sexually molested in my life. But I refuse to stay here. I want to be healed. I was suicidal. I'll never forget on the 15th of December, the year 2003, I walked up to a 16th floor building and I wanted to commit suicide. And many people that might be battling these things, because I could not reconcile, how can God love me if my father didn't love me? How can God, anyone care for me if my own flesh and blood didn't care for me? And that was the day that God began to pull back the different layers of trauma in my life. Share this broadcast right now. God began to pull those back, the different layers of hurt and betrayal and just brokenness, and he began to heal me. Listen, the lie that I'm over it or time has healed me can become a dangerous wall from preventing people to face their pain that still controls them. Those trigger mechanisms, time you hear a song, it takes you right back to that time in your life, or every time somebody just has to say something, they might not even mean harm to you, but that has a trigger mechanism that pulls back all of this pain. You know, Saki, my mama died on the 1st of January. Who wants to lose their mama on New Year's Day? Who wants, and the devil told me, New Year's for the rest of your life will never be the same. I had to tell the devil, and some of you today, you have to tell the devil that you will become a victim of what happened. I don't know why it had to happen on New Year's Day, but I refuse to allow the rest of my life to be governed by what happened in one season of my life. Jesus, as the embodiment of truth, offers us not just comfort, but confrontation. You have got to confront this thing that had happened. I remember going to a funeral many years ago, and there, walking down the aisle in that funeral, was my abuser, was the person that hurt me. And I had to realize that I could not. That was the day, the true test of whether I was healed or not. And many of you, God will allow you to be tested to see whether you healed or not. Yeah. Because a wound must become a scar. When Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't show them his wounds. He showed them his scars. A scar is a wound that is completely healed.
Sure.
Let me say that. A scar is a wound that is completely healed. Check this out. Time is a shadow. Truth is blazing the light that exposes the chains of pain and sets the captives free so you can walk in your own power. Sure. This is so powerful.
Sure it is. It really, really is. And I believe that it's speaking to a lot of people this morning. And many of us are sitting with unforgiveness, and it is kind of preventing us from moving forward from those seasons. How does it keep us stuck, Zion, in cycles of recurring pain? And why is it so important to release certain people, you know, so that we can heal for in this process of healing? Talk us through that.
You know, Joseph, after being betrayed and falsely accused and imprisoned, he stood face to face with the very people that broke him. Isn't that just so amazing? God allows us to confront some things, some people in our lives. But instead of seeking revenge, he wept, the Bible says. He wept and he embraced them, choosing prophetic destiny over personal injustice. You got to understand, his release of them became the release of his own promise. And I want to say this, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the offender to die.
Sure.
My God, holding on to unforgiveness robs you of your peace. Listen, forgiveness is not about excusing what was done or pretending that it did not hurt or did not happen, but it's a deliberate act of releasing your right to hurt another day. Releasing people is an act of obedience to God's call for wholeness. Because I'm telling you what, many, many times people say, I will never forgive that person. And I've been betrayed. And we, many people on this broadcast, you have been betrayed. You've been hurt. People cheated. People robbed you. People that you were good to, that just destroyed your heart. But you got to understand, forgiveness is the key to releasing yourself. You're not releasing them. You are releasing you. And you have got to understand, share this broadcast right now. Forgiveness is the key that breaks spiritual prisons, unlocking not just hearts, but entire destinies by the weight of past offenses. You have got to understand that when you forgive, you are releasing yourself out of a mental prison in your life. This is so powerful.
It is very much powerful. Listen, as Zion often says, share this particular broadcast. We are live on Facebook, on YouTube. And the topic is, I should be over this by now when pain keeps coming back. And if it keeps coming back, right, if it keeps coming back in whatever light it does that mean that God is trying to go deeper with me in that process? How can we tell, you know, that the difference between a spiritual warfare and an unfinished healing or wound, so to speak?
You know, in Gethsemane, we look at Jesus in that most vulnerable moment of his life. He didn't just pray one sucky. He returned three times, wrestling with the weight of destiny and anguish. How many of us are wrestling with the weight of our day? We know that God has greater things, but we're carrying this deep anguish. It wasn't a failure for Jesus. It was a deepening of surrender. Sometimes pain isn't an attack. Sometimes when you feel pain, it's not an attack. It's a symptom that God desires you to be completely healed. It's a divine refining process in our lives for you to walk in greater authority. And when pain resurfaces, number one, when it resurfaces repeatedly, God can, it could be God inviting us to experience a complete healing. You know, Saki, I never had a love of a father. I didn't know what it was to be held or just to be affirmed by a father. And over the years, that came back to haunt me. When I would hear people saying, my dad, you know, their dad, they will ask their dad, it would prick me in the deepest place of my heart. And God had to you know, and then one day, Saki, I got a call that my dad was lying, dying in a hospital. And that day, I went to him and I said, Dad, I forgive you. Dad, I release you. He was in a coma, Saki. No, he never responded to anyone else. But that day, the tears rolled down his face while in a coma. That day, God took him home. But that day, I also received my freedom. And you got to understand that sometimes spiritual warfare warfare is real and the attacks on your purpose is real. But what you've got to understand, that even what the enemy, that's what Joseph said. He said, even though you meant it for evil, God will turn it for my good. Yes, the attacks are real. Yes, this trigger things of the enemy is real. But even in that, God will turn it around for your good. Listen, if pain is cyclical and triggers look familiar in your life, it's a sign. It's a sign that there are some things that needs to be addressed. And the difference lies in your response. If it is the devil, rebuke the devil. But if it's God pointing at something that you need to deal with, then allow yourself to deal with it. If there's confrontation, there's some people that hurt you, that have died, and you will never get reconciliation in this lifetime. Let go. Let it go. Let them go so that you can live your best life now. Not every storm is an enemy attack. Some are divine threshing floors where the harvest of healing is pressed from hidden places in your soul.
That is so. Oh, man, and I do believe that there's someone who's really, helped and aided in their healing journey this morning. Before I let you go, is it possible that the pain that we've been trying to forget, harbored for years, is actually part of our purpose? And how does God then give prophetic assignment to our pain?
Let me say this. There is power in pain. There is power in pain. Because when Moses fled Egypt, he fled Egypt broken, afraid, haunted by his past and his failures and his rejection. Yet God met him in the burning bush. And guess where God sent him back to? God sent him right back to the very place of his trauma to lead a nation out of bondage. Man, to equip the people to minister. And many times we say, oh God, I want to be healed before I can minister. But sometimes you have to minister through your healing. You've got to minister because you've got to understand that your testimony, your test will become a testimony for somebody. Listen, I would never be here today if I stayed in that broken place. And I know that God uses broken vessels, but we do not have to remain broken forever. Purpose is rarely, very rarely born in comfort zone. It's forged in the fire of pain, loss, rejection, and trial. Your story of survival will become a testimony that transforms pain into power and positions you as a beacon of hope for the broken that is around you. God ordains suffering. Let me say it again.
Yes.
God ordains suffering not to punish you, but to prepare you. Your pain is God's way of crafting empathy, strength, and wisdom. These ingredients are essential for carrying the weight of your assignment in this life. And lastly, when God assigns prophetic purpose to your pain, it transforms your scars into a message. Your survival becomes a platform for your wounds to become windows for divine revelation, and your journey becomes a divine roadmap. God does not waste your wounds that you hide. He crafts from your brokenness a sacred mantle that you will walk in to fulfill your divine purpose and calling. I'm telling you, Saki, I am living proof. I am living proof. One day when we all stand before the Lord and when we look at the different scenes that we had to walk through in our lives, and God says, I brought you out of that, and you did not give up in that, and you forgave them when you didn't have to forgive them, and God will clap his hands at us and he say, well done, my good and my faithful servant, because your life has become a message for so many people needs breakthrough.
Come on. You had me when you said I would not be here if I stayed in that state of brokenness. That was so profound. This weekend, what can we expect from you and your team?
Saki, it's powerful. Tomorrow night, we have a revival youth outpouring at Awake the Nations at 7 p.m. On Sunday, two special outpourings, 9 a.m. I'm speaking about establishing your dominion. It's phenomenal. But Sunday night at 6 p.m., if you're anywhere in the Cape Town area, the prophets of God are going to be in the house. It's going to be a prophetic revival night. People are coming in from all over, from as far as Stellenbosch, as far as Paarl, all over Cape Town. We are converging at Awake the Nation, 6 p.m. for prophetic revival night. You need a word from God. You need breakthrough. You need miracles to manifest. Then I want to see you this coming Sunday. Awake the Nations, 31 Kimberley Street in Goodwood, Cape Town. Saki, as always, it has been a phenomenal, phenomenal interview, a phenomenal time with you. May the grace and the peace of the Lord be with all of our listeners. We will see you next week, same time, same place, In Season with Zion.
Awesome. Amen. Take care. As he said it, next week, same time, same place. Ooh, my heart is so heavy, but in a good stance. It is so heavy in a good stance. As I mentioned, this particular broadcast, you know, it hit home. It was almost like an embrace from God for me this morning. And if you missed it, it is up on our Facebook, on our YouTube page. It is about, you know, when the pain just keeps coming back. Absolutely profound, so sound, and in season.